When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 262 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we discuss the Georgia Southern game, the news of Frost's departure, and we look ahead to the Oklahoma game.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Go Big Red! Go Big Red! Justin?
Yeah.
My nephew, Jude, he is right around the age that I was when I saw Nebraska miss the field goal against Florida State.
Mm.
And that is my earliest Husker memory. Different circumstances because we were playing for a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it interesting that, like, right around the same age, the first exposure that I have to Husker football is complete sadness, right? Mm. And since Jude is just old enough to start actually paying attention a little bit to football, so far he's way more interested in basketball than anything. He's a basketball kid, which is, you know, that's great for him. But, you know, the last several years, it's been more like he goes and he plays and he does whatever. Well, last night he was sitting on the couch next to us watching a little bit of the game here and there with us. And I felt compelled to explain to him why all these adults in the room were so invested in a team that struggles so much. Because I feel like kids today, they have no concept. Nebraska's always been bad for them. Right? And so they see us getting our hopes up. They see us putting all our eggs in Frost's basket or a certain quarterback, or, you know, you go online, people think that, oh, this one recruit is going to change everything, right? And I don't know, I just felt compelled. And so I kind of explained to him, like, there was a time when Nebraska football was good, when these types of games were blowouts, when we were happy watching football, right? Yeah. And so it's weird because then at church this morning, I have this moment of clarity. People always kind of like talk about like, oh, we've been walking through the wilderness like the Israelites. But I think a better metaphor, a better analogy rather, would be it's more like the Babylonian exile. Not to get, you know, not to proselytize on our podcast, but I feel more like it's, yeah, you know, we've been chased out of town. The old guard, everything that we knew of what we loved and cared about is literally destroyed and gone. It's not there anymore. It does not
exist. The past has passed.
Yeah. And so now, yes, let's go ahead and tell the next generation about how great Nebraska used to be. Let's preserve that legacy. Let's tell those stories. But when we come back to the promised land, we're not going to find the temple as it used to be. It's been destroyed. It's been razed to the ground. And I think what we've been experiencing for the last several years in Nebraska is people are trying to just take this rubble and like just shove it, and like if we could just put it back to where it was, maybe the temple will stand again, right? But But that's not what happened. They went back and they had to start from scratch, and they had to build from the bottom up. They weren't using old materials. They had to build a new temple.
Well, Reverend Mike bringing the word this morning.
So that's kind of where I've settled with Nebraska football. Is like at this point, you know, people keep saying, oh, the only thing that is tying the past to the present anymore is that sellout streak. It's a pay no attention to the man behind the curtain situation at this point anyway. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's being propped up. It's a Weekend at Bernie's type thing.
Well, and it's like, is it an example of the tail wagging the dog? I mean, we sold out for so long because there was an amazing product to see.
Yeah.
And they kept expanding it because people kept wanting to see the amazing product. And at this point, it's the product is gone, and there's nothing left but the people who keep coming because we keep coming.
Yeah.
And it's all that's left, you know? And it is something to build on, to maybe continue your metaphor. Like, it's a foundation, right? It's dedicated fans, committed fans. That's something to build on. But, yeah, the past did not work.
Yep. And I think we need to stop going to that well. You know, I jokingly said.
I trust Trev to go wherever he feels is best to go. And if it happens to be a connection, that's fine.
Sure.
But that's just in the nice to have category. It's not even on the priority list anymore.
Yeah.
And in some respects, it might be a liability at this point. Because if you're trying to resurrect the past, like, you're not looking to the future. And Trev did a good job in his press conference today of saying we need to stop talking about past championships and start building a championship culture. And I've already seen a couple former Huskers, more recent Huskers, saying, current and former players have been saying that for a while.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I will say,
let's stop saying, man, we used to be good, and start looking forward to when we can be good.
Well, but before, before we look too much forward in this podcast, though, I will say, when I heard the news this morning, my initial reaction was just sadness. Mm-hmm. It's sports. So at the end of the day, it's not that, it doesn't really matter. It's like, not like lives are on the line or anything.
Right.
But, you know, it's Nebraska. It's a small community. It's a tight community. I feel like it's so tight. And this was the golden child, the favorite son come home. And everybody just knew it was going to work out. And it seemed like the track record was there. And nobody wanted him to fail, except for like a few real sickos. Like, nobody wanted him to fail. Mm-hmm. And he got an extra long leash because of that. And Trev, I think, made the excellent... He pounded home this morning that, or earlier this afternoon rather, recording on Sunday here, the day he was fired, that Trev did everything he could to help Frost be successful. There was no movements behind the scene, no Trev saying, I think you need to do this. He said it was, you know, we did everything we could to support Scott and his vision. And everybody wanted it to work out, and it didn't. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I got a little moist-eyed for a few moments just thinking about it all. And I've been a couple times this week, even before this happened, I've thought of that article that was in a Central Florida newspaper. Do you remember some journalist like bumped into Scott at the grocery store while he was weighing the decision where to go? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And he was just like so torn. He was like, I got a great thing going here, and you know, I love my life here, but you know, you never know when this opportunity might come up again. But if I go and I fail, like, it's like I lose that life. And he was so torn. And you know what? He should have stayed.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should have stayed. It's just like, it's like a sickening feeling to be filled with regret for a decision you didn't even make and weren't even a part of. But like, I don't know. I've never met Scott Frost to my memory. I've been around his parents, but I've never met Scott. But man, I just feel sick about it.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I actually, it was interesting because the first thing I felt compelled to do when I woke up this morning, and like I don't do this with sports, but I prayed for Scott Frost, the human being, this morning.
Really?
And it was just because, yeah, even I was saying it yesterday. It was like, well, I'd love to be in his position and get fired and. walk away with millions of dollars. I mean, I'll take that. I'll swap lives with him, right? But when you take the money out of it, I legitimately am, I don't know what his support system is, what his friends and family and the people around him, but I hope he's got good people around him to help him walk through whatever he's going to have to walk through in the coming hours, weeks, months, years, you know, because to be put on a pedestal and have everybody put their hope in you. I mean, I just think of all the In Frost We Trust shirts that were pressed the very first day it was announced that he was going to be our coach. Like, people were all in on Frost. And just the amount of pressure and the fall from where we started. I think back to 5 years ago, how elated even I was as a fan.
Oh, I remember I drove over to a parking garage here in Lincoln because they had his face on the big screen and I took pictures of it. Actually, I drove up like three parking garages trying to figure out which one it was that had the good view from into the stadium.
Sure.
And then they had Frosties at half price at the Wendy's downtown, so yeah. I picked up a couple of those on the way home.
I remember sitting on my couch in my apartment with a bowl of cereal, just taking in the press conference. Because I think it was like the next day he did this 20-minute thing. And, oh, do you think you're going to have to adjust your scheme to the Big Ten? Well, I think the Big Ten's going to have to adjust to us. Like, he was saying all the right things. We were like, heck yeah. All those former players coming back to the facility for the first time in years. It was this coronation. All premature, right? And I think it's because Mike Riley was so bad.
I think it was because Sean Eichhorst was so bad.
Oh, sure,
you know,
sure.
You
that
know what?
Whole situation.
Riley was okay. Mm-hmm. I think he was 9-4, and it was the last bowl game. You tweeted earlier today that it was we're 35-51 as a podcast or something.
And it's 35-50. Nice round numbers. 50,
and our friends at the Go Big Redcast were like, "What's it like to see to podcast about a bowl game?" I mean, that was the last bowl game, and it seemed really rough. We had a bunch of guys out, and it was like, "Oh, this isn't bad. We need to get better." And then I think Eichhorst made Mike Riley fire his buddy Banker on defense, and then brought in Diaco. And so we're all doing revisionist history, you've been tweeting all about Bo all week.
I promise you, all the Bo stuff is a joke. I don't mean a word of it.
Oh, okay. But I do think that I think people have been doing this recently too, but we got to probably revisit our Riley time with a little bit more charity.
Sure, but I do want to put this in here. You responded before I was able to really finish that thought. Riley was...
So here's the deal, is that what I really want...
No, Riley was so bad from what we were used to at the time that we thought, well, we need to get somebody in here, anybody, and then we got Frost. It was like, oh my gosh, yes, we're going from somebody we've never even heard of to this hometown hero. Let's do this. We thought that was going to wrap everything up in a bow, and, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who were ringing the alarm bell, you know, sounding the alarm when that hire happened, because there were people who spoke up and said, nope, this is too soon. It's not going to work. You guys think it's going to work, but it's not. There were people saying that.
Not many.
I remember seeing them. And
okay.
I think we all wanted to believe so badly. And we also, I remember having discussions. We were saying I think by year three, we can really expect to see some kind of progress, right? And then 2020 happened, and we were like, year four didn't matter, or whatever, right? Or wait, no, he said year three didn't matter because that was 2020, and then year four, 2021, well, that was a rebuilding year from all the garbage from COVID, and now it's 2022, and suddenly, oh my gosh, things never got better.
Yeah, it just feels like he's been, as saying this to my wife, is I feel like it's almost been a jinxed tenure, and she was like, yeah, but that's stupid, jinxes, come on. But you think about going all the way back to game one with the lightning strike and the game getting canceled and then going, having Colorado come and The 2 years in a row where we lost leads to Colorado, and then COVID hits, and you had all this momentum, and things just drain away. And then there's Nebraska brought football back, but then everybody, like, I don't know, not everybody. Then we were some sort of pariah for a while, and we didn't have a holding called against us for like 2 years. And then it's kind of that second year of COVID, whatever. And then, you know, last year with all Frost really needed to restructure everything last year, because that was his last shot. He didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just didn't have enough people giving him the good advice, but he needed to do a radical change then. And, you know, I suppose I'd be curious to do, I don't know if we have the time or mental energy to do it right now, but just a thought experiment of taking out the 6 year seniors mm-hmm. who were around on defense last year. Like, if you don't have those guys, how much worse is last year's defense? But then maybe this year is even better, because I'll tell you, the problem this year is there's just no depth on defense. It's mm-hmm. just gone. That your safeties and your corners, I don't know the stats from this game yesterday, but from the previous 2 weeks, they've played like 95% of the snaps. And then Nick Henrich gets hurt at middle linebacker, and there's no depth. And I got excited and whacked my mic stand over here talking to myself, not even looking at your face. Ernest Hausman, bless his heart, he's out there fighting, and he's a great athlete, and he's going to have a long, great career here. But he, you know, he's a freshman, and you got backups in. And I'll tell you, I'm no linebacker expert, but I feel like what happened so often in the game yesterday is there would be a simple delayed play. So they put out all kinds of wide receivers. They're not a running team. They spread out the defense, and you just don't have like Olavonte David at middle linebacker. Nick Henrich is out. You know, your captain, your team captain is out. And so you've got an inexperienced couple guys trying to fill it, and you can kind of spread them out. So you got like a middle linebacker there, and you get some sort of counter motion, some sort of misdirection. He steps one wrong way, and he's covered up. He's blocked out, and then the middle of the field is wide open. And it's time and time again, big runs that were kind of like at a weird little angle across the middle of the field that went for so long because we just don't have experience. JoJo Doman's not there to clean up the messes. All those six-year guys. So anyway, I can't help but wonder if some of those guys didn't have the COVID year and didn't stick around. Maybe last year was worse. I don't know. Maybe he, without some of that experience, it feels like he needs to get a coaching staff. There's so many ifs, ands, or buts. But at the end of the day, he's gone. I'm sad about it, but it's probably the right decision. There's certainly people who are angry about the timing of it.
Really?
Some folks are like, I've heard a few people angry about the timing of it. You have some people fiscally angry, like, why didn't he wait until September is over so you get the half price buyout?
And other people. Let's be honest. I tweeted this from my personal account because I didn't want it to reflect on you by accident. But last night people are saying, but what if they got to wait until October 1st? And I was just like, you know, I think there's people with pockets deep enough that if they want Frost gone right now, they'll come up with the money. I don't think we got to worry about it.
Well, and Trev, I thought Trev's opinion on this was valuable, which is they just need a new voice.
Sure.
In the locker room leading them. You put so much into being a college football player. I mean, you pour your life into it. And you think about poor Adrian Martinez with his mouth wired shut, taking it off and putting in rubber bands during press conferences so we don't know that his mouth is wired shut. It's all consuming. And you heard O'Shawn Mathis coming out of the locker room today saying there's a losing culture in there right now. Trev makes the decision that there needs to be a change from the top. There needs to be change in culture. Mickey Joseph's the guy. Apparently Mickey has changes he's going to make. Like Trev says, we're going to notice changes. So I'm curious to see what that is. But I don't know if this gives us a better shot against OU or a worse shot. Kind of feels like Mickey has a really long job interview for the next 9 games, maybe 10 games. Should be interesting.
Yeah. So I saw something on Twitter that I thought was interesting.
What did you see?
Game one was when you were pretty confident Frost was going to be gone.
Game one of last year.
Oh, of last year?
The question was, at what point did you feel like this wasn't going to work out? Somebody posed that question.
Yeah.
And I think it was 601, our buddy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, for him, it was the week zero game at Illinois last year.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys were saying is I didn't read closely enough. Okay.
Yeah, and for me, I think I've said this several times, is in the lead up to that season, there was all this talk about all the changes in the kind of three big critical areas of stupid turnovers, dumb penalties, and special teams gaffes. And they talked a real good talk. And Scott really preached the changes they were making. And within like a half, it was obvious that those things had not happened. And I felt deceived and I felt lied to. I kind of felt, I was angry. Like, there, it's one thing to be angry at a football team because it's like, guys, come on, you're embarrassing me. But like, this felt real, it felt really personal. Like, I've been listening to this guy, and you and I, we spent a lot of time covering the team at that time, especially in the COVID years. Like, there was like, you know, we had some extra time on our hands. We did a lot of podcasting, and leading into that season, we were as vested as we were have ever been. And I don't know if I said to myself, this is not going to work out, but I feel like I'm a different person as a fan as a result of that experience. Yeah. And so now it's like, yeah, you know, I really care and I really want this to work out, but I'm not going to get as vested. And that, I think, is why you had to fire him now, is because apathy is maybe the most dangerous thing. Like we were just talking about a moment ago, all that's left of Cornhusker football greatness, all that's left is the fans. That's all that they've got. If they don't have the fans, they can't afford to fire him before his buyout doubles or cuts in half, you know? They can't afford to finish off that massive structure, that sports complex that's going to be too big for whatever coach comes in because Scott had an inflated player role, player roster because that's how Tom did it and he wanted to do it how Tom did it. Like, you can't do that without these fans. Like, there's certainly been that line of argument for the last number of years, and it's always seemed a little cynical to me, and I've shied away from it, but that the sellout streak was in some ways like holding the team back because it felt like the administration could just say, you know what, it's bad, but people are still donating, people are still showing up. But, you know, that's just all there is left. And so if you lose the fans, you lose the program, quite frankly. When you got the student section chanting Fire Frost, and they have all the Big Ten home games in a package deal, tickets for sale, because they're still haven't been sold, like, that's bad. That's apathy. That is like, that's the end of Nebraska football. I mean, Nebraska football as we know it, as we've kind of been saying, is gone. We got to start over. But that's the kind of thing that maybe never recover for. Getting a little doom and gloom here. I apologize. But all that to say, I think that's why Trev felt he had to make the decision.
Sure, sure.
When he did.
Yep. Kind of bums me out because I feel like it renders next week's game irrelevant. Like, unless we win. If we lose, everybody's like, of course they lost. But if we win, people will be talking. But before we talk about Oklahoma, I think it is going to be helpful. Let's do talk a little bit about the Georgia Southern game. 45-42.
Gasso. More like Gas X.
Gas X that I need to purchase at my local drugstore because they give me intestinal ouchies.
Okay.
Really starting to reconsider this whole we don't edit thing.
What were the announcers like watching it at home?
It was a little bit difficult to pay attention to that. Like I said, I was with family, nephews were running around. There was a dog that kept getting up on a ottoman in front of me. And staring at me or people next to me. And the volume was going up and down here and there, and so I don't really have a good handle on what the announcers were even saying at any given moment. I was just watching the game, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But from what I hear, they were ready to to talk about all of Frost's shortcomings. Like, they had that queued up so that when things went bad, it was ready to, you know, like, oh, let's talk about this for a second. Not surprised.
I did have the chance to hear a snippet of some Trev Albert's comments before the game. And it's interesting in retrospect to think back, because he was very focused on how the defense would be strained. He didn't use that word. I'm using that word. And I didn't mean it ironically, but there we go.
Hey, I used it earlier, too.
Number two. Yeah. And just the way that it's an air raid offense that we won't see again the rest of the season. So in one way, it is a little bit of an oddball. But the fact is, it's what should be considered an inferior team. And they took it to us. But he thought that it would be a real challenge for us, for the defense to keep up with schematically. So I don't know how surprised he was. He thought we were going to win, is what he said in the press conference. But he wasn't.
I thought we were going to win.
I thought we were going to win, too. I ran a bunch of friends at halftime, and they asked if we were going to win. I said, yeah. And I'll say this. The offense looks good. Granted, probably not the best defense we're going to play all season. But they pretty much scored at will, including getting the offense, the special teams unit, into field goal position mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. 35 seconds to work with. I mean, what more can you ask? There was probably the biggest offensive error was there was a 4th and 4 or 4th and 3 late in the third quarter that we didn't go for. And they, when we punted it to them,
yeah.
they either threw an interception or they punted it their only time. So in the short term, we didn't lose anything off of that, but it's just like, why are we punting? And we can't stop them, and we've been moving the ball. Yeah. And maybe one other offensive quibble is Whipple is a little bit inclined to sling it around when a ground and pound, keep it away from their offense. Like do what Nebraska football used to be.
Yeah.
Do what Wisconsin has done to us and our offense has had to adjust to. Just let's take it to them, and then there's no margin, because we did pick it off a few times. So
how many times over the last several years has Nebraska scored late in the fourth quarter, but not late enough? And we've tweeted something like, hold on, don't celebrate yet. Wait, we need to see how this is going to play out. That happened to me last night.
Mm.
Nebraska yeah. scored, what, with like 4 minutes to go or something? I forget what it was, but
I think it was like
three minutes to go.
It was like but it was a 4 minute drive, as I recall. Like we took a really long time on that drive. Mm. It was a 98-yard, 15-play, 5 minute, 58-second drive.
Right.
To go ahead. So we took over the ball with like 8 minutes left in the game, and we scored with 3 minutes left in the game. And that wasn't enough.
Yep.
Yeah, what else is there to say? Missed a couple field goals, right?
Yep. So, I don't know if this is like a devil's advocate thing, but like, personally, Kyle Van Treese has probably got to be feeling pretty good today. Like, came in last year with a different team, and then this year, like, you gotta make it happen. Ugh.
This is maybe a minor thing and kind of something that you complain about if you're a loser, but I've been to a lot of games at Memorial Stadium, and I've witnessed some tough losses and some chippy opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like the opposing players charging the student section after they won, and like flipping the bird, shushing, throwing the bones. It was disgusting. I sit kind of close to the student section. I mean, yeah.
I feel like that is the product of this weird obsession that the rest of college football has with Nebraska. I think that everybody loves to hate Nebraska right now. But it's not like when the Yankees were good in the 90s and everybody hated them because they were winning. It's this weird, sick twisted thing where I cannot stand, and I've been very vocal about it for the last couple of years, that Reddit CFB account. Like today, when Frost was fired, they tweeted like in a half hour, like 7 or 8 times about Frost. It's like, get a life. Like, we know things are terrible over here. We don't need y'all piling on. And I feel like there's this weird thing where in a world of hashtag be kind, I feel like the general public is getting worse about just like being
in a world of hashtag. No,
I think that like bullying is probably worse. And it's these kids that grew up with like kindness matters. It's like, okay, you can get behind that and everybody's like, yeah, put on your best behavior. But like behind the scenes, they're being terrible to each other online. Who knows what's going on Snapchat and TikTok and all those different ways that kids are just like awful to each other. Because like, let's be honest, kids are awful. Yes, I'm a youth worker at a church, but like, let's be honest, kids are really terrible to each other. And I think there's this weird thing where the culture at large just like allows that now. Like, it's okay to kick somebody when they're down as long as everybody else says it's okay, you know?
Well, there is the, I have also noticed the trend of when you beat a team, like you tweet something sarcastic at them, you know?
And like from the official accounts now. It used to be like the students or their, you know, the top media cover, you know, whoever covers the team, they're the ones that are talking trash. But now it's like the official student section and Twitter account or the actual like the football team's account. I mean, even remember last
everybody,
night.
Yeah, everybody tweeting, let's. Oh, that's my train of thought.
Well, I was just going to say, last night it was, I thought it was actually kind of clever. They tweeted out that picture of their, I don't know, their eagle eating a cob.
Oh, yeah, on the cob. Shucks.
that was kind of like, okay, yeah. At least that took some thought and some effort. You know, it wasn't a low blow. It was just like, yeah, we came in.
Last couple of years there was the thanks to Nebraska for bringing back football after we beat them.
Yeah.
After
we lost it. It's garbage.
It's like the barstoolification of sports.
Yeah.
The Barstool Georgia Southern account yesterday morning tweeted something like, let's get Scott Frost fired today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, people are awful. that's my take.
Be kind. Be nice.
No, see, I think all that's garbage. You need to, like, be a decent human being is what you need to be. And quit pretending to be kind and then kicking people in the nuts.
Oh, man.
And we are really commiserating here, aren't we?
Yeah. I keep thinking this. I'm so glad we've put so much less time into this podcast. But at the same time, I'm grateful to have the outlet to, like, it's like, I'm going to talk to Mike tonight. So I'm just thinking about things in that frame of mind as to, you know, kind of organizing
sort
my thoughts.
Sort things through, yeah.
What's priorities, what's important. So it's kind of nice to have that, to have this outlet. And at the same time, it's great that it's not, I mean, we've put a lot of time into this thing during the week. Like, it was like a part-time job.
So it anyway. It does feel appropriate that, like, We made it this far. We've seen it through. Here we are. We have successfully chronicled the entire tenure of two Nebraska coaches for the last 8 years.
We're sitting here talking about memories of previous coaching transitions, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. Hopefully we can ride off into the sunset after a national championship with our next coach. I mean, heck, I'd ride off into the sunset after a division championship.
That's it. We're done.
Yep. Well, you know, Big Ten West is still anybody's game.
Oh man,
right?
Rough day for the Big Ten West. I mean, ours is just like a small piece of it. Wisconsin losing to Washington State. Iowa losing to Iowa State. Who else lost? Us. Fired our coach. Northwestern lost.
You just reminded me.
They fumbled across the goal line as they were trying to tie it up in the last few seconds.
Let me find this.
What did I remind you of?
Oh, I got to find it. It's on... it's from... So, speaking of Reddit, the people on the subreddit, the college football subreddit, they're not bad. It's just their Twitter account's awful. I love this. This is a post from the user AnAngryPanda1. The name of this, the title of this post is, For the fate of the known universe, we simply cannot allow Iowa and Nebraska to play. And the body of the post is, Iowa's offense running into Nebraska's defense is like trying to divide by zero. It will result in a cataclysmic event that will end us all. A black hole will form and consume everything in existence. Unmoving object versus non-existent wall.
That's funny.
Oh...
What a time to be alive. My kids, who, you know, they're still pretty young. Mm-hmm. They're pretty sad when they heard Scott Frost was fired. We try not to use the S word in this house, stupid, which I've used on the show like three times tonight. And my son was like, that's stupid. He was sad. He's like, I like Scott Frost. And I was like, I like Scott Frost too. You know, we're not friends, but I think he gave his best for his school. What more can you ask?
It all started when somebody stole his Wii. We should have known that was an omen.
It was Scott's Wii?
I'm pretty sure somebody stole Scott Frost's Wii when he first moved into Lincoln. Like, among other things. I just remember that was one of the things that was listed when, like, somebody broke into his house. You don't remember that?
Yeah. No, I remember the Wii getting stolen. I just guess I forgot it was Scott's, but yeah. It's all coming back.
He can't play Mario Kart anymore with the motion controls. It's like I'm turning a steering wheel.
Oh man, long snappers looked good though.
Hey,
the extra point long snapper got a lot of reps.
Mm-hmm.
Should we look at SP Plus here?
I was about to ask, speaking of, how's our numbers looking? Because I know that's been we've been waiting with bated breath to see how our special teams are doing this year. Are we in the hundreds?
I don't really get what's going on here.
Oh.
So overall, 51, which, okay. I mean, there's 65 Power 5 teams, and we've lost one and a Sun Belt team, and we barely beat an FCS team. So, I mean, we're definitely at the bottom end of the the Power 5 pack.
Mm-hmm.
Our offense is at 50, which I feel like the offense has been pretty effective.
Yeah.
I'm already blocking out the Northwestern game, so I can't remember some of the struggles there. I know it went cold in the second half, but anyway, offense is 50th. Defense, which has been just really poor, it says they have it 53. And special teams, where would you guess?
I'm going to give it a straight 100, because despite us having a decent punter, we have still been... missing field goals and not really returning the ball. I don't remember them letting too many people get too far when we punt or kick off, but it's been wholly unremarkable.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like kick coverage has been average. We've had a lot of touchbacks. I can't think of any big returns by the other team. And to your point, neither of our return units have had good. I think we still have zero punt return yards, and. Anytime we kick, we probably average starting on kickoff behind the 25, because when we do bring it out, we don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've missed field goals. Buscini has been good as a punter. He's been good. Okay. Special teams, 130.
Oh, my gosh. So that's worse than last year.
I don't know what that's about. I don't quite. Maybe it's weighted from the previous year, and that's keeping the defense higher and special teams lower. Because I thought we would not be that low.
Yeah, that's very surprising.
Maybe it's just a small body of work, you know? Like, we've played three games, but most teams have played two.
Huh.
Hmm.
Bummer, man.
No, I'm just thinking about Billy Bush and all those guys. Like, no coaches were fired, aside from Scott, by Trev. But Trev said Mickey is... you know, effectively the head coach for the rest of the season. So if he wants to make any changes, he can.
Sure.
It'd be interesting to see. Also, you think about the impact of the athletic department as far as Scott's number two there, Mr. Davidson. Curious to see what his tenure looks like.
Come back to KFAB or wherever he was before.
Yeah, be really interesting to see what happens next there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting to think about.
Anyway, OU's coming to town. It felt like last year, the Nebraskans that went down to Norman, it felt like it was just like a love fest, and it was, for most people watching, I think a surprisingly close game that we could have been in. We could have won, but for some, you know, on-brand, huge special teams mistakes. And so I don't really know anything about OU at this point other than Brent Venables is their coach, who was at Clemson as their defensive coordinator for a really long time, including when they were winning national championships. I know they lost their head coach and a lot of talent went with him, but it sounds like they've got a bunch of transfers and they've restocked, reloaded. According to SP Plus, they are overall number 5, and their offense is number 5, their defense is 22, and their special teams is 36. So the degree of difficulty is about to go way up. Let me look at SP Plus and see where Northwestern is. I'd be curious to see.
Yeah.
I'm just going to scroll down to the bottom and then start going up. That would be my guess as to where to find them. 89. Their offense is 103. Defense is 74. Special teams is 123. And we lost to them.
Well, looking at ESPN's FPI, it's not quite as dismal as one might think. They give Oklahoma a 75% chance of beating Nebraska this weekend, which I like. Part of me is kind of curious. Like, did that number get affected at all by Frost's firing? Like, I wonder if like. Is it potentially a net positive just because we are now unpredictable and who knows what the scheme is going to be?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's interesting.
By the way,
Georgia Southern is 100 in SP Plus. Offense 93, defense 98, special teams 39.
It's ridiculous.
Their special teams were good.
Yeah.
Their punter was good. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I know that there's a lot of people coming back to town for it. Sounds like I was talking to a friend who's like, I might have to stay at a hotel in Omaha. I can't find one.
You know, I hope that that's what this Saturday becomes, is just kind of a celebration of the history between these two teams. Because we kind of got robbed of that last year, I felt, with us getting forced into the... Like, this year we're expecting it, but last year they wanted it to be a night game and it wasn't. This year, I think we just kind of accepted that it would be what it is with Fox doing their big noon garbage.
Not a fan?
Well, I mean, it's whatever. You know, I felt like last year they made the most of it. This year, I mean, that's all we got. That's something that we were talking about, is the fan base is Nebraska football right now. And I would love for Saturday to be a positive regardless of whether or not we win or lose. Cause like I was saying before, like if we lose, people are just going to be like, okay, yeah, well, we expected that. But if we win, oh, that's even better, right? That's fun. That's great. That's wonderful. But I truly hope that people show up and cheer on the team.
I think they will. I think they'll come out.
I think they will.
In force. Well, I mean, I feel like this game, for all that we said up front about like burying the past, like that's regarding the coaching hire,
right?
Fan base, we don't forget the past,
of course.
And so, this game is gonna be old home week, and you know, Osborne and Switzer, lots of love, yada yada yada. There's just gonna be a ton of people back, and it's going to be a celebration of when Nebraska was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but wonder if someone in the athletic department at Oklahoma is like, look, win well, but don't be mean.
Right.
Like, would they do that? Would they call off the dogs?
I guess see that. I could
for
see
that classic Big Ten SEC matchup, Nebraska Oklahoma.
Oh, that feels gross. Ugh. Although we were the first ones to jump ship.
Texas started it.
Yeah. We were forced
out.
And
I was rooting them for a second.
So did I. Oh, that would have been fun. But ultimately, at the end of the day, oh, well. I mean, Texas still lost, so.
But, and Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Strange day.
Well, yeah, you going to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
Did you realize, this has been tweeted a few times today, as the interim head coach, Mickey Joseph, is the first African American coach at Nebraska of any sport.
Right.
That's yeah. Wild.
When I first saw that, I part of me was like, well, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Devaney and Osborne were here forever. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, of any sport.
Any sport. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, there's so many sports.
Yeah.
Surely, like, somebody somewhere.
But then that also got me looking up census information for Nebraska. And, it, you know, it's not too surprising, but it's also overdue. So, I mean, that's wonderful. I'm for it.
Yeah, it's great. I'm super excited. If things could take off and he sticks around for the next, 25 years,
I'd be.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm down. Yeah. I will say this to folks. If you've never been to a Nebraska game, tickets will still be hard to come by this weekend, but I don't know, maybe show up to Memorial Stadium about 15 minutes before any of the games for the rest of the year and get yourself a deal.
Yeah. It's good advice. I just just figured out with my college buddies that come back for a game each year, we're going to do the Minnesota game on November 5th. And depending on how things work out, I mean, I feel like folks like to get back earlier. You know, November... You're rolling the dice with weather. You have no idea. I mean, rolling the dice at this time of year, too, it could be blistering hot. But, I mean, you could have a snowstorm. You could have an ice storm. You could have a blizzard. You could have...
It could be 90 degrees. It could be
hot. Yeah. Yeah, it could be hot. So, that's a good point. Maybe I won't work that hard on digging up tickets because if you want to pay in the off season...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want it's paying for the knowledge that you have tickets. That's what makes it expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you can live with the unknown and take it up to the last minute... That's when people just give them to you.
Right.
People call me all the time. Game week. Do you know anybody who wants tickets? I don't. I'm sorry. I do not. I know a lot of people who are asking me that question, but anybody who wants them, I don't know those people.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just go to Huskers.com. Sounds like there's tickets available. You get a package deal. Come and watch a new era. I wonder if that, that might help ticket sales. You know, new coach, interest, that could help.
Sure. Yeah.
Mike, it's been nice talking to you, and I'm glad we're still doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a little bit of discussion yesterday about like do we jump ship on this thing, but we felt it appropriate to stick with it. So here we are, and we'll be here next week too.
Let the record show. I never thought about not.
Oh, I thought about. I wanted to record. I. Wanted to talk about anything but Nebraska football.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what you said.
Yeah. So, hey, that's been your idea. We've been sitting on for about 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, no, I know. It even before he got fired, things felt kind of monumental, I guess.
Yeah.
It felt like... It was funny. I had just finished... I was listening to Chattel's article this morning, and he's made a comment like, about how it's not a matter of if, but when Frost is gone. And he said, but they're not going to fire him before Oklahoma week. And it was not long after that I saw the news. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, now more than ever, I say go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.